Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Dish Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show. I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Once again, this is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. I am pleased to be with you. It is May 23rd, 2018. It is 11:03 Eastern Standard Time, and I decided to do the show probably about 5 minutes ago, okay? I just wanted to schedule something. I wanted to come back on the air with you because it's been a while since I've been on the show. It's been a while since I did an MMA show. Our last show, we had on Corey Williams. He's a bare-knuckle boxing promoter out there in Wyoming, and it was a very interesting show. We spoke about some of the stuff, some of his regulatory efforts there in Wyoming, and the sport of bare-knuckle boxing and bare-knuckle fighting championship, which is supposed to take place in Cheyenne, Washington, or Cheyenne, Wyoming, in a week or so. And very, very interesting. That was probably, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And I wanted to really talk to you about some things that are going on with the show and some recent news in MMA with the UFC, ESPN, my overall disgust and just dissatisfaction with mixed martial arts. You know, the great one, Eddie Goldman, has said this for years, that the sport is just devolving. The sport is really becoming a spectacle. It's you know, very, very plagued compared to what it was previously under the previous ownership of the UFC, and it's not even worth my time anymore. You know, Eddie's usually right on the money. You know, Eddie is far ahead of his time, and he's the guy that invented MMA media. This is the godfather of MMA media. This is the conscience of combat sports. This is the fill in the blank. Eddie is the best out there, and it's just not. He barely covers MMA, and I understand why. I really do. So I want to kind of rant a little bit, just tell you my disappointment with the sport and all that stuff, and we'll talk about that. I also want to tell you that coming up on Friday, we're going to have Curran Jacobs back on the program. Curran Jacobs, you recall, was on the show about 2 years ago for over an hour. And, You know, we spoke to him about his background at Michigan State as the team captain of the Michigan State Spartans going back to 2011. His wrestler, or his D1 wrestling experience, and of course his catch wrestling experience, which is really, really remarkable. And, you know, his feud with Josh Barnett. And after I interviewed him, and even before I interviewed him, Josh Barnett was giving me a lot of hell, you know, on the forums and private messaging me not to have him on and all that stuff. And so now they're actually going to be competing in the same tournament taking place in Hamilton, New Jersey, coming up July 14th at the Primal Gym there in Hamilton, New Jersey. And this is a tournament that's being put on by Snake Pit USA. And there's a good chance that he may fight Josh Barnett in this tournament, because Josh Barnett is in the opposite bracket. It's an 8-man heavyweight tournament. And Josh Barnett is competing in, if Curran wins his opening match versus Johnny Buck, he's probably going to face Josh Barnett. But there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. Curran was on Eddie Goldman's show last week, and I want to follow up with him. So we're going to have Curran Jacobs on the program this Friday here. I'll talk to him about what's going on with this tournament. And he's very, very outspoken, and I really, really appreciate that. And we look forward to bringing you Curran Jacobs right here on Carson's Corner on Friday, this Friday. So stay tuned for that, folks, okay? It's about 1,000 degrees in my room here. My room is the only room in this house that does not have an air conditioning unit. My window is too small, and so I got a friggin' roast here. I was thinking about getting one of those floor air conditioning units, but they're too much money, and, you know, I don't know. It's like, it's one of the things, you know. It's unfortunate because, believe it or not, air conditioning and a lack of air conditioning is something that affects the working class. I mean, it really does. I don't want to talk about, you know, politics. We did our political show last night, and we're really, really building up a very, very big audience with that. But it's like, if you go to the inner cities and you just see these window fans and these just, you know, poor people don't have access to air conditioning. And it's been like that, like, my entire, you know, adult life. Well, not, you know, I would say the last 15 years of my life, you know, ever since I've been alone, actually maybe 11 or 12 years of my life that I've been, you know, on my own. It's just like, you know, it's hard. It's hard for us poor people to get access to air conditioning and heat. So when you're listening to this, have a little extra appreciation for the conditions that I'm broadcasting to you through. All right, what do we got going? You know, I got to be honest here, folks. Okay, this whole MMA, the UFC. I followed the UFC. I have followed the UFC since the first Ultimate Fighting Championship. I never attended an event until about 99. That's when I started training in MMA, okay? And as John Peretti said on this program and many other programs, is, you know, Peretti and his knowledge predated everything that we see now. Everything, you know, has a point of origin. And Peretti, it's a great word that he uses. And my involvement with the sport predated, you know, a lot of these so-called MMA journalists that you see out there, okay? And I started covering the sport back in 2005 when it was abundantly clear to me that I couldn't do anything as far as being a fighter. It just wasn't there for me. So I started covering the sport because I wanted to continue to be involved with the sport. And that's what I did. And you know, I started to go to UFC events back in 99, 2000, when the UFC used to run in Atlantic City before the unified rules in 2004. And, you know, it was a much, much different ball game. It was completely different than it is now. You didn't have the involvement of the Fertitta brothers back in 2000, back in those days, 2000. I think they bought the UFC in 2001, and you know, Peretti can tell you about that. He was there at the time, and you know, some of the stuff with Lorenzo Fertitta and Nevada State Athletic Commission and all that stuff. And so, you know, it was different, but, you know, okay, so Zuffa, the private company, purchased the UFC back in 2001, and they took over, you know, they essentially, if I'm not mistaken, dissolved SEG, which was the company that owned the UFC beforehand. And, you know, they you know, commercialized it. They created the Ultimate Fighter in 2005. We all saw what happened with you know, the Ultimate Fighter, the behavior on the Ultimate Fighter, that there is just really unfortunate and you know, arguably an indictment on the sport. You had the Forrest Griffin, Stefan Bonner brawl that supposedly launched the popularity of the UFC. And then, you know, the UFC, fast forward to, you know, 2016, they were purchased by WMEIMG. And you know, now there's all these shareholders that invested in the UFC, and it's turned into this corporation. You know, that's what the UFC is. And it's always been a corporation, really. You know, you could look, as I mentioned, to the Fertitta days. It was a corporation. It was a private corporation. And you know, with any corporation, you have the fighters that are treated a certain way, and you have an objective on the part of the corporation to make money. That's it, is to make a profit and whatnot. And now with the shareholders and now with, you know, the UFC sale going back to 2016 being made public, we know what the UFC is worth. We know what the numbers are, and, you know, we could tell how much the UFC is, you know, revenue, okay? And they just signed this deal with ESPN, which is supposed to start in 2019. The deal initially covered, the first deal was digital rights being assigned to ESPN2, and they hired this shill, Ariel Helwani. He's going to do the ESPN Plus coverage. He's going to have some sort of podcast or some sort of show with Chael Sonnen, and people are going to have to pay $4.99 to see this on ESPN Plus. And then you have ESPN that's going to have 30 events per year, 15, I want to say fight night events, or no, 30 fight night events per year, and you're going to have 20 events supposedly on this streaming service, okay? And you're still going to have pay-per-views. You're going to have 12 pay-per-views in 2019, so that's a pay-per-view a month, basically. And, you know, in addition, you have the 30 events, you know, per year, okay, across these, you know, across television and across ESPN Plus. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not going to buy any of this stuff. There's no way I'm going to get ESPN. I don't have a television. I have no intention of getting ESPN Plus. That's just ridiculous. I was a Fight Pass subscriber. But now Fight Pass, what's going to happen with Fight Pass? ESPN owns the rights to Fight Pass, but what are they going to do? You're going to have to pay $10.99 or $9.99 for Fight Pass, and then an additional $4.99 for ESPN Plus. No, it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, they're going to have to eventually, I think, dissolve Fight Pass and get everybody over to ESPN Plus, which I'm not doing, okay? And, you know, even now, you know, with Fox, it's so complicated to watch the UFC, to watch the weigh-ins. If you want to watch the weigh-ins, it's one channel. You want to watch the fights, it's another channel. Then if you want to watch the posts, it's you got to go to five different places to get UFC events. And I'm just, you know, not somebody that's going to do it. Like I said, I subscribe to Fight Pass, but I don't have Fox Sports. I have no intention of getting a television. Fox, as far as I understand, they don't offer any type of streaming service. So, you know, it's just becoming this product now that has been fragmented to try to make as much money as they can to repay these investors. And what are we getting for this? Like, what is this? You know, pay-per-views now, or how much now are the pay-per-views? $60, $70 now? $75, whatever it is, it's absurd. People aren't able to buy this. The economy is still very, very bad, and always has been, really. People aren't going to you know, or a lot of people aren't going to pay, you know, $70, $80, whatever it is, for these pay-per-views, okay? Especially with the UFC and the dwindling star power that they have. The you know, the plummeting pay-per-view numbers, which, you know, Dana White can scream and yell all he wants to about this deal, which, what is it, you know, $1.5 billion for 5 years, and then you add on to that the $700 billion they got for the ESPN Plus deal. You know, it's over $2 billion that's going to these companies that are not going to share that money with the fighters. There's going to be no type of revenue sharing with the fighters. And so, you know, it's just a business deal. It's designed to make them as much money as they can. And what does that do for the sport? What does that do for me as a fan, first and foremost? It does absolutely nothing. Okay, and so all it does to me is it just, you know, provides more incentive not to watch this stuff and not to not to bother. I mean, you know, not to mention with the lack of matchmaking, the interim titles that we've seen, the meaningless interim titles, the you know, fight cancellations, and all the unpredictability of mixed martial arts. It's just getting worse, you know. It really is. And so, you know, I'm you know, saying to myself, this is not even worth my time anymore. And the great thing about this country, and any country really, is that as a consumer, you could decide what you want to watch and what you don't want to watch. You know, I'll tell you what, if I tune the UFC out, I say, you know what, it's not worth it for me. I don't care anymore about these live events. I didn't even watch the UFC Chile event. It's just not worth it anymore, not worth my time anymore, you know, particularly with, you know, some of the behavior that we've seen in the UFC and you know, the Conor McGregor, this attacking the bus, and you know, the lack of any type of repercussions. It's just not worth it for me to continue to really watch this stuff and even cover it anymore, because, you know, another thing is I mentioned the shill Ariel Helwani that's going on to ESPN Plus. There's no real coverage of mixed martial arts aside from folks like Eddie Goldman and Mike Russell. And, you know, one or two others. Everybody's just looking for a piece of the pie. Everybody's just looking for a way in. You know, they're all looking to to get money. I was listening to one show today. I'm not going to mention who this clown is, but he was talking about how, oh, you know, ESPN is going to have all these extra hours now, and there's going to be a lot of room now for analysts out there, and they're going to look to bring people over from Fox Sports, and this is a great opportunity. You know, I'm going to try to get some contacts over use my contacts over at ESPN to try to get an analyst job. And you know, so what, you have this wave of nonsense, of superficiality that exists. And, you know, there's no real journalism. There's no real criticism. There never has been. There never has been a real MMA media aside from the lone wolves out there. You know, which are far and few between. Guys like myself, you know, Eddie and Mike Russell, and guys that have integrity first. Integrity first, folks. That's what it is. Integrity first. And you know, people like that. You know, you're not going to get the support. You're not going to get the backing of a company that wants to make money and then wants to sell this product to brain dead. You know, consumers that, you know, embrace the UFC culture, it's just not going to happen. So what is this, you know, why continue to do this? I mean, you know, is Bellator that much different? I don't know. I don't think so. Bellator is the same. They're trying to make money. You know, they're a company that doesn't have the market share that the UFC does, certainly doesn't have the talent that the UFC does, but you know, they're in the game too, and you know, they're not really much different from the UFC as far as I'm concerned. You know, and you've got other companies. You know, you've got De La Hoya that's trying to get in, you know, this professional fighting league, which is going to be, I think, a real failure. It just, what does this all mean anymore? Why are we even bothering going through this? Where is the you know, the integrity out there? I just don't see it. You know, I really don't. And so it's becoming for me a pointless endeavor. But you know, you could look at things like Eddie's focused on catch wrestling, and sometimes Eddie focuses on things that, you know, I don't think necessarily are going to pan out, but you know, you got to speak out to some extent. You know, you got to have your platform, and you got to keep going. You know, because then, you know, it's really, really unfortunate. So that's what I feel about the ESPN deal with the UFC. It's just, to me, it's just one more reason to, you know, distance myself from this crap, not even worry about it, and, you know, take up some other stuff. You know, I mentioned earlier that I have a political podcast. That's the most important thing that probably I got going on right now, you know. Each week, you know, from Monday from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. here, right on this channel, it's unfettered talk about, you know, very, very taboo subjects within the political realm, okay? And that's stuff that you're not going to hear on, you know, the corporate airwaves for obvious reasons. You're just not going to hear it. And more people are listening to that show. I'm telling you, look, I'm not going to tell you that we have, you know, we're getting tens of thousands of people listening every day. I'm not going to lie. Okay, it's not. But what we're doing is we're getting listeners in every state, and we're getting listeners all around the world. Okay, and we're slowly but surely building a reliable audience. There's a saying that if you build it, they will come. The economy and the system is crap. The media is garbage. People are tuning out. People are abandoning elections, and people are just there's this this real need. There's this real need, as I said, for an alternative. You know, and so you provide that alternative to a certain extent, then you know some people that are looking, some people that are conscious, they'll find you. Okay, and maybe you could think of the same thing with the UFC. You know, if you provide content out there, you don't just interview fighters. That's another thing too, is that, you know, this show in the past was really associated with fighter interviews. Okay, and interviews are great. I love interviewing fighters, but MMA fighters are not interesting people. Like, I mean, it's not just MMA fighters; it's boxers. If I had a boxing show and all I did was interview fighters, and that's the show, then, you know, you're everything depends on getting interviews. Everything depends on fighters' personalities and interesting content, and you're behind the eight ball, you know. And, you know, I don't want to make this show, to the extent that I continue this, which I do plan on doing, I don't want to make this show about fighter interviews and which fighter we're going to have on next week and which fighter, you know, it's good to have that. But if that's your only content, if that's the only thing you're doing, then guess what? You know, you don't really have that much of a show. As horrible as someone like Rush Limbaugh is or whatever, he doesn't need to have interviews every 2 seconds. You know, that guy, you know, probably doesn't have that many interviews at all. And that's just one of the many problems that we see with MMA media, the so-called MMA media. It's terrible. It's just fighter interviews and, you know, after one after another. And, you know, it's like anything. It's like you piss these fighters off, or you say exactly what's on your mind. Then you don't get those fighters on your show. Well, just like with certain managers, like this guy, Abdul Aziz, the guy that Mike Russell has really reported on. You know, you don't, you start to talk about him and start to, you know, look at some of his past activities, which Mike Russell has done. I believe Mike Russell is actually starting his own podcast soon. Then suddenly his fighters don't want to go on your show, and then it all becomes a political game. And that's something that I'm not going to partake in. I just won't do it. Okay? It's integrity first. That's what it's all about here, okay? Somebody should relay that message to Dana White, who has no personal integrity. Oh, God. I hate these people in my backyard and the street. I live in a very trendy area in Long Branch, and in my backyard there's a lot of clubs. There's one or two bars, and it's a lot of kids hang out there because it's, you know, it's drink night or this night or that night. And I'm telling you, it sounds like Mardi Gras back there. I can't get to sleep half the time because there's so much activity there. It's like drunk people just frolicking, looking for the cars and making a lot of noise and revving their engines and racing. And it's just, I'm surprised nobody's been killed back there. This actually was a stabbing a couple years ago, or maybe last year, where an off-duty police officer was stabbed or something of that nature. But, you know, there is, I'm surprised there's not a lot more activity outside my window. So I apologize if you heard that clown revving his engine back there, or street racing, whatever the hell he was doing. It's just really annoying. So that's really, really it. So, oh, by the way, I heard from my producer the other day. He emailed me. And I, you know, it's been a while since I heard from him, saying that he was having computer problems and he wasn't able to get in touch with me. And so, you know, he basically said, and I've talked about this before on the program, that that, you know, I was, my posts on the underground were very alienating, in that he had people in his real life wondering whether or not I was obsessed with certain fighters and certain gyms and whatnot, and you know, it wasn't good for the show, and it's going to alienate listeners, and it's liberating to have a "you hate me if you want" to attitude and whatnot, and all this stuff. So I don't know, like, what his position is. I said, listen, I said, you know, I understand that, you know, some of my posts online can be a little bit reactionary and can be a little bit outspoken, but that's who I am. That's what the show's all about, you know. And I don't want to, you know, change to try to placate to a certain audience. Now, I also said, you know, in the past, he's taken over the underground account that we have, and he's posted the show there. And if that's what he wants to do, then that's great. I mean, he should do that. But I don't think my producer has enough time, or he's certainly not. So the only person I could post on the underground is me. And if I'm going to post the show, I'm going to post the show, you know. And so, you know, if I'm the only one doing everything, if I'm the only one doing the, you know, the PR of the show and you know, the guest booking and all that stuff, then, you know, then we might as well, I might as well just do that by myself, you know, and not have anybody, you know, affiliated or do the show, you know, because I would pay my producer. I paid my producer every show, you know, to write for me and to get all the, you know, information. And I didn't mind doing it. It was worth it. I mean, while last, we delivered very, very good in the interviews. But if there's no promotion of it, and if there's no distribution of the show, then it's not worth it. It's like, I got to do all this stuff myself, and I'll do it all by myself, but, you know, I'll do it, you know, I'm going to do it my way. That's it, you know. And so I don't know what's happening with him. I'll leave it up to, the ball's in his court, you know. I'll still try to get guests, and I'll still try to continue with the show and everything like that. But, if he doesn't want to, then I understand it, you know, and it's fine. It's no hard feelings, you know. So that's really it, folks. That's an update in a roundabout way on what I got going on here with the show and what's going on. I was thinking about going to that bare knuckle fighting event, but they haven't emailed me. They haven't sent me any press releases. And that guy Feldman, you know, he's doing the rounds on these other shows. They recently had a luncheon with boxing writers. Eddie Goldman was telling me in New York City, nobody from MMA was invited, didn't invite anybody. So, you know, they had money behind them. They got Beck Rawlings. They look like they have a decent amount of people, you know, competing at this event. So they're getting money from somewhere. The question is, are they going to be able to continue this? You know, even though you got Wheelock involved with it and all that stuff, but they're not. They initially reached out to me, and they sent me the press conference, but I haven't heard back from them. So I'm assuming that they're just probably, you know, trying to go with the usual suspects for promotion. And it would be a long drive out there to go to Wyoming. I've done it before. I've driven to Wyoming. I've driven to California twice, to and from California twice in my life. Almost got killed the second time there. You know, so it would have been a real, real struggle for me to do it anyway. But it is what it is. I you know, won't cover it, or not going to be interested in it anyway. You know, we'll see what happens with that. So Bellator's got some shows coming up. Bellator 200 is coming up. Roy Nelson was supposed to fight Mirko Krokop, and Krokop got injured. And now you've got MVP fighting David Rickles. I don't know who else is on that card. I don't know if I'm if I can, I'll watch it. If not, you know, it is what it is, folks. All right. Yeah, so what else do you have here? Is there anything else, folks, in terms of MMA news out there? I don't know. I really don't know. But the last UFC pay-per-view, the UFC in Brazil, which was a real disaster in terms of numbers, got, according to reports, 84,000 buys, okay? 84,000 buys. Now, this is a problem that the UFC is not going to get away from. You know, look, they could sign all these deals, and I'm sure Dana White's going to tell us that anybody that doubted the UFC or anybody that, you know, said the UFC was struggling was a piece of garbage and not a fan and, you know, all the expletives ever. This is a new ceiling that they've broken and all this stuff. But the reality is that, you know, their pay-per-view model has dwindled, and the pay-per-view market is not what it once was for the reasons that I said. You know, the economy, the price of these pay-per-views rising, the injuries, the unpredictability of MMA, all this stuff. So, you know, that's not going to change. They're not going to have, 2016 where you had three or four, how many Conor McGregor pay-per-views that had over a million pay-per-view buys. It's just not gonna happen, at least not for the foreseeable future. The stars that they're cultivating now are not generating the pay-per-view stars. You know, it's just not. I mean, guys like Kevin Lee and guys like Khabib and Tony and you know, they're not, you know, big pay-per-view sells. It takes a special breed to sell pay-per-views. There's no question about it. So, yeah, they had 85,000 pay-per-view buys. The main event was Amanda Nunes versus Raquel Pennington, which the UFC didn't really promote the event to begin with. And some of Amanda's other fights, like when she fought Valentina, you know, we're talking only 100, 115,000 pay-per-view buys. So somebody was saying earlier, and they made a good point about, you know, it used to be that you'd have a hardcore audience that would buy these pay-per-views. You'd have a hardcore audience of MMA, you know, that would buy UFC pay-per-views no matter what. Well, that's changing now. You know, you can no longer rely on hardcore or fans to really hunker down and buy these pay-per-views, you know. And it's going to be the same with this ESPN Plus crap. I don't think you're going to get a lot of people that are going to buy this, as evident with the Fight Pass numbers. The UFC wanted something like over a million Fight Pass subscribers. They got far short of that. I mean, I heard numbers of maybe 400,000 or 500,000 Fight Pass subscribers. And I didn't mind Fight Pass. I liked it. I watched the Invicta events. It's not clear what's going to happen to these promotions that are broadcast on the fights or Fight Pass that have agreements with the UFC and whatnot. It's not exactly clear, but this is really a problem for the UFC. And it's not going to get any better. I don't think so. You know, so we'll have to see what happens. But that's really it. You know, that's my take on the world of mixed martial arts. I want to tell everybody, you can friend me on Facebook. Please do facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. And you could also follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. And make sure to follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner. Like I said earlier, we're going to be having Kerrang Jacobs on the show on Friday. Very excited about that. I want to talk about his upcoming catch wrestling tournament and the possibility of him fighting Josh Barnett. And we'll talk about some other things, I'm sure. right here on Carson's Corner. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.